Welcome to another edition of the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Brossen. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us here at the Gospel Mailbox, you can contact us via the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org, or call us 423-544-0623, or write us via post, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee 37409. Well, friends, we're on session number 46 on the great doctrines of the Bible. And tonight we're going to talk about adoption. Now, we want to note that regeneration has to do with our change in nature, justification with our change in standing, sanctification with our change in character, and adoption has to do with our change in position. And we find in Galatians 4, 1 through 7, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Now, we want to stop and ponder for a minute. What does the word adoption really mean? Well, it's a legal metaphor, as regeneration is a physical one. In the Roman world, for adoption was hardly, if at all, known among... It is a Roman word, for adoption is hardly, if at all, known among the Jews. It is used of the believer when questions of rights, privileges, and heirship are involved. Galatians 4 and 5, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And then Paul said to the Romans in Romans 8 and 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Romans 8 and 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, awaiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." Romans 9, 1 through 4, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises." Ephesians 1 through 5, "Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Now, many of y'all who know me know this, but I'll go ahead and share this with you. My father, my dad, that raised me was not my biological father. But yet, the bond that we had and the love that I've had for him over the years, and the love and the care that he showed for me, was as ever bit as strong as between a natural son and a natural father. And so when I think of adoption, I really have a good functional idea of what that means. Having been grafted in to a family, having been grafted in like that, and how much you appreciate that, and how much we appreciate how that God has done the same thing. Those of us that were dead in our sins and our trespasses and were aliens to the way of God, and how that God made a way for through the redemption, through the shed blood of Jesus, and called us in to become His sons into this great adoption, and how we should be so thankful for this thing of adoption. And we do see some examples of that. We see one good example of it is the way that Moses, when he was cast into the river, and how that Pharaoh's daughter had found him and saw him. And we find in Exodus 2, 9 through 10, "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and said, Because I drew him out of the water." Hebrews 11, 24 and 26, talking about that same thing. "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Now, let's stop and think a bit about our adoption and our adoption to become children of God, to become sons of God. And let's stop and think about it. In a sense, in a certain sense, in a very specific sense, our adoption is eternal in nature. And I want you to listen very carefully to what I say, because there can be some misunderstanding with people on what is meant by this. And we see in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Now, we have to stop and think about what this actually is saying, and we have to think about what it's not saying. You see, it is saying, listen to me very closely, it is saying that we, through our free will, were predestined to be the children of God. We, through our free will, were predestined to be the children of God. Now, the Bible talks about how that Jesus was predestined to come to this world to shed His blood on the cross, to set up His apostles to go out with the message, this good news for man, this gospel, and they were to go out and preach the gospel and win people to Jesus and get them saved and then mentor them and disciple them, and then these people were going to turn around and go out into the world and preach the gospel, and they were going to win people, and generations after generations this was going to happen, and people were going to get saved and come into the kingdom of God. And how this whole process was predestined from the very beginning of time. So, listen to what this verse is saying. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. In other words, when we by our free will accept the Lord Jesus Christ and become a member of his body, which was predestined to be in existence, we then become part of that predestined body. But see, it's the ecclesia. It is the body of Christ that was predestined into existence. It was not our salvation that was predestined into existence. Now, there are other ways to interpret these verses, and there are people who believe it a little bit different than that. And I'm not going to argue and debate with people. When my younger years, I flip-flopped back and forth several times about what I really thought about that. But if you take those verses and you read in there and notice that it keeps talking about us being predestined and chosen in him, and then you turn around and it allows you to balance that with the verses in the Bible that talk about our free will. So we still have, and this is the great mystery of this, we still have a free will, and we still have being predestined into the body of Christ. Okay, and let's think about another thing. It takes place the moment we believe in Jesus Christ, just as I was saying. We're predestined the minute we become part of the ecclesia, the predestinated body of Christ. But yet it's our free will when we become adopted, when we by our free will accept the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Galatians 3:26, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 1 John 3:1, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now there's another aspect to this adoption that we need to have a good feel for and a good understanding of. And the other aspect of this adoption is the fact that it is our sonship. Now, when we're saved and we accept him, it gets started, but there is also, it is completed at the point of the resurrection. Now, let's just take the Bible at face value, looking at Romans 8:23. But not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, awaiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And so that's real clear that is talking about the full fruits, or the full manifestation of this adoption occurs at the resurrection. Because when it says the redemption of the body, that's talking about when death is completely is swallowed up in victory. And this happens at the resurrection. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, every one of us, We're either going to leave this world in the rapture, or we're going to leave this world by death. One of those two events are going to happen. And so we can't say that our body is redeemed. Now, our soul is redeemed, but at this point, our body's not redeemed. That occurs at the point of the resurrection. And we also notice that this time is a time when we throw off this disguise. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad." And 1 John 3, 1 through 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And isn't that just a great thing to stop and contemplate? This resurrected body that we can look forward to having when our adoption is fully manifested and fully brought forth, this great resurrection that's going to happen, and we're going to be given this new body. We don't fully understand and comprehend exactly how this body is going to be made and constructed, and exactly what is its components. But we know that we're going to be like him and live forever. And let's just stop and think about the blessings of this adoption. First off, one of the blessings of being an adopted son of God. Now, mind you, now Jesus is the only begotten son of God. This does not put us up on even kill with Jesus. This is nothing like what the Mormons believe. This does not make us on an even keel with Jesus. But we are the adopted sons of God. And one of the blessings of being an adopted son of God is that we're the objects of God's love. John 17 and 23. "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." So, being an adopted son of God, an adopted child of God, means that we are the object of his love. And having been raised by a father who is not my natural biological father, I can tell you that it is a great thing. And if somebody is not your biological father, and they love you like a father, they're just as much a father as a biological father. And when we were grafted in and adopted as the adopted children of God, God loves us just as if he was, if we were natural children, his natural son. And then, being an adopted child of God, we're the objects of his fatherly care. And we see Luke 12, 27 through 33. "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure is in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Now, isn't that a great thought? How that God cares for us because we are the adopted children of God. And how that when we suffer and when we're doing without and when we lost our jobs and we're having difficulty at our employment and we don't know whether or not we're going to be able to keep our jobs and we don't know what the future holds, how that God cares for us because we are the adopted children of God. And we also have the family name. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knew us not, because it knew him not. Ephesians 3:14-15. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we're part of that same name. And then we have the family likeness. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We have the family love. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one another, for one to another. 1 John 3:14. For we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And then we're the recipients of that fatherly love. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In Galatians 3:4-6, almost the same thing. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And then we're called into the family service. John 14:23-24. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And he will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, and the Father's which sent me. John 15:8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Now, one of the things that we all need to be aware of is that as an adopted child of God, we are at times recipients of that fatherly chastisement. I know that there were times where my dad corrected me, and he corrected me the same way as he did my sister. And he made no difference between the two of us in the way that he corrected us. And when we get out of line, as adopted children of God, we will receive chastisement. Hebrews 12:15-11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Amen. Now, we also are recipient of fatherly comfort. Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them which are in trouble, and by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And we see that we're the recipients of an inheritance. 1 Peter 1:3-5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed unto the last times. And then Romans 8:17, if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And then let's quickly think about a few evidences of our sonship. First off, that we're led by the Spirit, Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we have a childlike confidence in God from this redemption, from the adoption. Galatians 4:5-6, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Then we have liberty of access, Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And then, as we said before, that we have love for the brethren. 1 John 2:9-11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. And then we're obedient. 1 John 5:1-3. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that begotten him. By this ye know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
I'm Donnie Bryson. You've been listening to the Gospel Mailbox. If you want to contact us, call us at 423-544-0623, or you can contact us via the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org, or you can write us via post, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee 37409. This has been the Gospel Mailbox, where we bring Christ's love letter to you.